Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Hound Healer Reports, your dose of holistic health tips and expert interviews to help your pets live a longer, more vibrant life. I'm Jody Miller-Young, your host. Today's guest is someone who possesses serious credentials as a longtime integrative veterinarian and molecular biologist, and he equally matches that with a tremendous heart for animals and people. He has been, I don't even want to use the word battling because he's learned how to work with it, but he has had a degenerative disease called spinocerebellar ataxia since he was a kid. So for more than, 40, 50 years, he's been learning through his own experimentation and knowledge about how to work with his body and nature, and is now outliving what experts say you should be doing, you should be living with this disease. So he's going to share a little bit about that too. I'm talking about Dr. Jeff Feinman of Holistic Actions, which is a wonderful pet parent holistic platform, and his own private practice, Home Vet. Now, how do I know about Dr. Jeff's big heart? Because he and I have been supporting each other's mission for a little while now to take complementary medicine, including homeopathy and a number of other modalities, out to a wider world. I'm so excited to speak with him today, and we're going to talk about several things of interest to pet parents. But the one thing I want to begin with is a science-backed philosophy that I think Dr. Jeff coined the term for, called the happiness protocol. Welcome, Dr. Jeff.
Wow.
I know, it's a big intro.
I know. Thank you. And I really appreciate it. And I just want to go back for one sec, if I may.
Sure.
To what you said, because genetic disease, or one of the genetic diseases that I've got, is a genetic disease, but it's variable penetrance. So it really depends on the environment more than what your, genes say. So yeah, so not that I've outlived, but I've got a happier life now than I had 10 years ago or 20 years ago, and that isn't always the case.
Don't the experts, if you follow sort of the traditional, conventional medical approach to managing this disease, isn't it, and we know why, and we can talk more about this as we get into the interview more, isn't the general lifespan shorter than what you have managed in a happier, more fulfilled way? Isn't it?
I guess the answer to your question is the same answer as to every other medicine. It depends on the context. And yeah, I mean, it could be, averages 20 years from symptom onset. And my symptoms started when I was 14. So I guess that's, 30 years since then.
Yes.
And again, not surviving, but thriving. And that's what the happiness protocol is all about, is how to help your pets survive and thrive. And it's based on, what's making me happy today. So thank you, Jody, for bringing it up. And it's all about, guys, helping your pets have the happiest lives with the best quality, which, by the way, happens to improve their physiology and all their diseases. But we're not even talking about health challenges right now. We're just talking about happier pets. And that's what it's all about.
Yes, but there is science behind this. From as far back to the book you recommended to me by Norman Cousins, right? I'm blanking out on the name of the book now. As told by the patient, something is told anatomy of an illness, as told by the patient.
We're talking about anatomy of wellness.
Yes. And how he used laughter and ascorbic acid in high doses at that time, because this was the, 60s or early 70s, and they used what they had at the time. But again, at that time, it was definitely alternative, and he ended up being able to cure his degenerative illness, right? And then we bring it forward, and there's more science now to show about how happiness.
Norman Cousins is now the Norman Cousins Center of Psychoneuroimmunology, connection between the brain, the heart, the body, at UCLA in California. And they are collaborating, working on molecular mechanisms, what is happening in the human body, because all this work, a lot of this work for now, is in people.
Right. Right.
And they're looking at things like awe and gratitude and happiness and the science behind how all those things improve quality of life and therapeutic sniff walk. We're going to go back to the happiness protocol.
Yes.
You know, therapeutic sniff walk has been called by the greater good center the awe walk.
Oh.
So when you're out doing your therapeutic sniff walk with your dog, which I haven't spoken about yet, but feeling the awe of being out in nature and looking at the trees or birds or whatever is around you, really, really fine-tunes your body the way the sniff walk is doing for your dog or cat. Today, I guess we're talking mainly about dogs, which is...
Well, we're talking about both. Really, I know it's the hound healer, but it is cats too. And yes, I do want to talk with you about some of the things that pet parents can do to incorporate the happiness protocol into their pets' lives. And for dogs, sniffing is critical. As we know, they love it.
And the science there is very deep, because that's, you know, equivalent to pranayama breathing exercises in people. And that connects all of the modern science with the ancient wisdom of breath.
Yes.
And this is another invaluable book from 2020, I think.
Maybe show the book so people can see the author. So if they want to go out and buy it, because you talk about this book a lot. We all know breathing and proper breathing is important, but James Nestor has really gone deep with how it affects our health. And yeah, pranayama, for those who are not, you know, into yoga, it's a form of breathing. And Dr. Jeff is telling us that the sniff walks for our dogs and cats, my Suki goes in the backyard. We watch her, of course, but she goes in the backyard and she sniffs and she eats a little bit of grass, no pesticides, and she enjoys nature. So absolutely, yes.
Awesome, yeah.
What else can pet parents do that you found through your experience for dogs and for cats?
The first things, actually, I guess we can start at the very, very beginning, and that is finding what your individual dog or cat loves more than anything else. You know, for some, it's special treats. For some, it's petting and purring. For others, it's playing. For others, and many of them, it's a sniff walk. So start there and do more of that. You know, depending on the severity of the disease, you may even need to double what you're doing to make them happier. And, you know, I can use my own pup, which was actually the first place where I used this, and the cure of his Lyme and kidney disease, from lots of Happy Meals. He would get dozens of Happy Meals, but anyway, I don't want to go there.
That's wonderful for Archie. I didn't realize that the happiness protocol was so instrumental in curing him of these things. That's phenomenal.
Yep.
Phenomenal. Yeah. And also, you know, time is always a factor with most people today, even if they're still working at home. Everybody is so overloaded with stimuli and work. So focusing, especially if you have a pet with condition or illness, on those things that you know they love, zeroes right in to the health benefits that you can provide for them, right?
It really does. And sniffing, and I apologize, I interrupt myself, which I do often because of my brain disease. But sniffing brings us back to the dog or cat that really can't go out for a sniff walk. And for them, you can get a tool called a snuff-o-mat or a mind pet platter, which we can talk about later. These are all sniffing and happiness tools that can accomplish very similar things for dogs that can't go out, but they will be able to go out, because Jody, the one thing that I want to get across that I think we should share more than anything else is that our pets' bodies are designed to heal.
Yes, like us.
Like ours, exactly. One Health.
All we have to do is get out of its way. Contributes to. You tell us. You're the expert.
There is. It's. I mean, I feel extremely privileged and happy to be living in these times in science when all of the pieces are in place, or they're all, you know, we know about the science. And, I know we jumped over the benefit of the science, but the science and is what allows us to do the actions we do. So, yeah, the Norman Cousins
book. A back door, in a way. Yeah. Those snuffle mats, everyone, first of all, they come in really, really cute varieties today. So you have that option if you're into that. But really what you can do is you can throw treats in there and they have to forage. Right? They have to forage for it. So it gets their brain going. It gets their, you know, instinctive foraging desires working. And, you know, they're occupied with something that they love because they know there's something really yummy and good at the end of it. So I'm not that familiar with the other tool that you mentioned, the meal platters, pet platters.
Sure, we can jump right into that, but it's a great way to make a mealtime a happy time and more natural. The Mind Pet Platter is a relatively new, it's a sustainable tool, meaning it's, you know, the way it's sourced, the way it's made here in the US is fully sustainable, and it removes the food bowl and makes it into like a little snuffle mat. It's a little place where with divots in this material where you can hide the food, and every meal they slow down, they're mindful, they're sniffing, and it speeds up the eating of dogs that don't, or cats that don't like to eat, and it slows down the eating of dogs that eat too quickly, or cats that scarf and barf.
Well, yeah,
scarf
right,
and barf,
right.
You know, vomiting right after eating.
Yes.
Cats not with the mind as much.
Yeah, it becomes an activity, a fun activity, instead of just a meal. I want to, is there anything else you'd like to add, first of all, about the happiness protocol? Because I also want to talk about One Health, which is something that you are very passionate about, and it's really the wave of the future. But I want to make sure that we give our pet parents all the tools that they may need to employ the happiness protocol in their own pets' lives before we move on.
Well, there are tons, and it all depends on the individual pet, but they all really, or a lot of them, center around parasympathetic activation. So enabling the relax, restore, regenerate reflex in the animals, which is equivalent kind of to getting into the flow for people, optimal performance. You want a mixture of sympathetic and parasympathetic, but for healing, you want the parasympathetic, and purring is a big way to activate that. It's like ujjayi breathing. People purring and kitties can actually get them into a parasympathetic state, and us. But when you have a purring kitty on your chest, that activates your own vagal nerve.
Vibrational.
And it may be just, you know, but some cats and dogs don't like petting or brushing or all the things that can make them happy. But, you know, up in your show notes, I'm not sure how long we're going to go today, but in your show notes, we can certainly share, you know, more details.
Absolutely.
About that, because I would
Absolutely.
Love to focus more on One Health
One
medicine.
Health. Well, talk to us about what One Health is so everybody listening understands.
One Health is a paradigm, a way of understanding the world, pets, people, everything really, that is more sustainable, that focuses more on the inner and outer terrain than it does on the germ. The germ is kind of secondary to the balance of the terrain. It's like I'm planting a seed in barren soil without water or sunlight. It's probably not going to do much, but rich soil, you know, if the terrain is well cultivated inside or out, they're healthier, more resilient. You know, the plants grow up and they resist diseases and germs and bugs just like the animals do.
Absolutely.
And it all comes back to the happiness protocol, which actually is part of something called the terrain optimizing protocol. We just like to say, keep your pets in tip-top shape, because TOP is the terrain optimizing protocol, which is all things that you probably talk about here on the podcast as far as diet, fresh food, feeding, and not working against the body, and working together with nature and not working against nature and not working against the body is the essence of One Health medicine.
There's a quote that I came across in a blog post on the Holistic Action site about One Health that sort of sets the stage in a way to not only what you're talking about, but why now is the time, right? Quote, "There's an ever-growing disconnect between human health, animal health, and environmental and ecosystems health. Gains in human development have come with often unrecognized negative consequences that are damaging to ecosystems. A paradigm shift is urgently required to de-sectoralize human, animal, plant, and ecosystem health, and to take a more integrated approach to health," which is a way in some fancy language to say what you've just said. We can't stop looking at all of these elements separately because we're all connected. The nature, our planet, our bodies, our minds, our health, it's all, and our pets, all the same. It's all an interconnected energy system.
You said the magic word, Jody.
Energy?
That's the one thing that we're not taught about much in vet or medical school or in science at all. Mm-hmm. And in ecology, so back to One Health and why we're calling it One Health medicine, because One Health has become all about the germ. And we're not focusing on the germ. We're focusing on wellness or One Health medicine.
Yes.
And where I was going was it in ecology, there's something called the dynamic energy budget or dynamic energy balance. And that's what we're talking about inside and outside. It's the balance of the underlying energy that allows us, our pets, and the planet to be as good as it can be.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
And really everything that we teach is, and everything that all the strategies that anyone can see on the internet are based on the physics law of conservation of energy. And actually Einstein and Schrödinger, the Nobel Prize winners that started quantum physics said, hey,
Tesla.
We need, a new set of laws to even explain medicine. What we explain is the physical world, but, how can it work with our current medical paradigm? And that's kind of what the science is working out right now.
I am starting to see more and more energy medicine is being talked about, not as it relates to pets so much, but not as it relates to the everyday practice of doctors so much, but more the scientists. How did we get so off course when 60, 70 years ago, you had geniuses like Nikola Tesla and Albert Einstein talking about how it's all about energy. We're all made up of energy, from this desk I'm sitting at to my body, every organ system, every muscle, everything has its own frequency, right? That it is vibrating on. We are just in an ocean of motion constantly, everything. And learning how to optimize those frequencies, work with them, keep them balanced, get them back in balance. We've had opportunities for so long. We've really gotten off course, and hopefully people are tired now of what hasn't been working for them and their pets, and now more open to the possibilities of getting more in touch with their bodies and nature. Yeah.
And that's beautiful, and that's perfect, and that's exactly where we are right now. EBM, which is, the evidence-based medicine, it's really experience-based medicine, meaning we need to look back thousands of years to Ayurveda and traditional Chinese medicine, all the medical systems that are based
homeopathy
on energy. And yeah, and but we're trying not to talk about the, you know, the quote unquote, as Dr. Doug said on the webinar last week, the week before, woo-woo energy stuff. We're talking about the, you know, the physical energy that we only learn about is ATP and mitochondrial function, but as we know, it's a lot more than that.
Yes, yes. And I encourage everyone listening to do some of your own research into energy medicine and the body as energy, because not only can learning about this help your family, and your pets, which are part of your family, but it can open up so many new doors to learning ways to optimize you and your pet's health. So, Dr. Jeff, where can people find you?
Well, the best
There's several place places
is yeah, the best place by far is holisticactionswithness.com. That's where all of our stuff is, either on the blog or in the member area. There's a Q&A forum where, you know, we answer a lot of or help with guidance for pet parent questions, you know, as far as is it safe to feed this or that, or what do I do? What are my options? Because that's the essence of holistic actions, is making mindful medical decisions for your pets and feeling confident that the science is behind it.
Exactly. Well, you are a treasure. And I feel that from the bottom of my heart. I'm so glad that you came on the show today. Thank you so much. And I look forward to continuing to learn more and more from you, Dr. Jeff.
And Jody, you've been... Thank you. That's all I can say. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You're awesome.
And you right back at you. Thanks, Dr. Jeff. And thank you all for listening. My mission is to share natural healing options for pet parents seeking a complementary approach to their conventional vet care. So tune in next time for information, expert interviews, and tips to give the animals we love the longest and most vibrant life we can. I'm Jody Miller-Young, and this is the Hound Healer Reports.